It doesn't matter what our plans were, Number Two. Without Earth, they are of no consequence. Therefore, we allow Darv to continue with his questioning and probing.
He knows too much about us, Number One. And he's told the others.
But they don't believe him. Darv is the only original thinker left on the Challenger.
Therefore, he is dangerous.
Therefore, he alone will lead the Challenger to Earth, wherever it is. So much knowledge was lost from the library during the great meteoroid strike. There is so much about space and time that we no longer understand.
Our knowledge is adequate, Number One.
Then where is Earth? How is it that the Sun has increased its magnitude during a mere 115 years? And if the people of Earth have taken their planet to another star, how did they achieve such a technological leap in such a short time? Our plan to rule the Earth depends on Darv's brilliant mind, Number Two.
But we keep all four of them sexually immature and sexually ignorant.
Agreed. It's worked well so far and has eliminated many possible sociological problems. Full sexual maturity would cause tensions between the four of them. And we most certainly do not want another generation crew at this time.
What do you think? Worth entering a forbidden zone for?
And this has been here all the time?
Stored in a vacuum, therefore it's in perfect operating order. Astra is already aboard, checking the food and water supplies.
How's it powered?
The motors look like chemical rockets. There wouldn't be much point in building a shuttle with a photonic drive if it's only intended for short journeys.
Which it's already been used for at some time, if the state of the heat shield's anything to go by.
Yeah, well, the condition of the heat shield doesn't matter for a moon landing.
You're suggesting that we leave the Challenger, Darv?
The flight desk won't give us any problems. It's virtually identical to the control consoles for robot planetary landers. A final approach guidance uses stabilized interference patterns on a main visor.
I wasn't thinking of that. I was wondering if you'd given careful thought to the idea of leaving Challenger.
Yes, Telson, I have.
Shana?
Before we decide, I think we ought to take a look inside this thing.
Seats and restraint harnesses for 10 people, and there's a space mobility suit under each seat. There's enough food and water to last a full complement a month away from the Challenger.
Which guardian angel is the controller?
Neither.
Well, don't be absurd. If this shuttle is in working order, then either Angel One or Angel Two must be responsible for its systems management.
Darv's right, Commander Telson.
Angel One?
They can only hear us through the radio channels.
Angel One? Angel Two? This is Telson calling. Will you answer, please? Angel One?
It's no use, Commander. We have absolute control.
In which case, we'll leave this thing immediately. Without our guardian angels, we cannot expect to control it. Shana, we will arrange to have this place sealed off.
Commander, please.
We have no guarantee that all the systems on this thing are in working order. I want us all back in the main part of the ship in 5 minutes.
No, Commander! What I mean is, for the first time in our lives, we have the chance to do something by ourselves, without the guardian angels.
Well, what sort of chance is that? Without them, we wouldn't be alive. They've watched over us since we were children, guided us. Without them, the Challenger would be a dead ship.
And that's how it will end up, unless we find Earth. Oh, sure, we can keep going into suspended animation. But for what purpose? So that we can die in 1,000 years' time instead of 50, having never seen Earth?
That's Darv's right. Maybe we've attached too much importance to the journey and forgotten its purpose.
The return of the Challenger to Earth is something I've dreamed about as much as any of you. If it was the Earth we were orbiting, I'd say, fine, go ahead and use the shuttle. But it's not. There's no guarantee that we'd find anything on the moon, and there's no guarantee that the shuttle is in good working order. If anything goes wrong, I'd be answerable to Angel One and Two.
So we do nothing and learn nothing. Is that what you want?
Look, why not let Darv and me go?
I'd like to go too.
Okay, that settles it. We'll all go. But first, we'll tell the angels and then thoroughly check the shuttle and make sure we understand its control systems. Separation from Challenger complete. Check seat harnesses. Cutting artificial gravity. Now.
Main drive ignition armed.
Open micrometeoroid shutters.
Opening shutters.
Oh!
Oh, look.
I never realized the Challenger was so enormous.
It is just enormous.
Look at her. She must be 10 miles long. You know, our beloved guardian angels must have sealed off at least half the ship.
Oh, is it any wonder? Look at how much damage was caused by the great meteoroid strike.
The excursion terminal doors are closing.
It must be an automatic control. There's a command touch on my console to open terminal doors. Oh,
just so long as we can get back in again.
Landing site selected on visual 8 and locked.
All procedures cleared?
All procedures cleared.
All procedures cleared. All procedures cleared.
Landing program initiated. Now, command touches are green.
Now what happens?
Well, as we're travelling backwards along our flight path, presumably the main engine will fire to kill our orbital velocity so that we fall towards the moon.
We'd better go over the program again in case we've missed anything.
Oh, there she goes.
Ground velocity 5,000. Flight level 730, 72, 71, 70.
Five greens. We're into Highgate. Main drive should cut 3 seconds from now. We're superfluous. This thing can fly itself.
Let's hope it can land itself. We're losing height at 1,000 feet per second.
Let's also hope the ground proximity control system is as aware of those mountain ranges as I am.
There's the city coming up. And there's a light on top of the largest dome.
Hey, what's that noise?
Gelson, we've lost power. All touch Dynes controls and visuals on the panel have gone blank.
Excursion abort, Darv. Initiate landing program override.
There's no override response.
I said excursion abort.
I didn't touch the controls, I swear.
There's a major control fault.
She's slowing by herself.
Oh, we should have checked this thing more thoroughly.
Telson, listen. That light or beacon, whatever it is, it must be some sort of external guidance system.
We've no power. We're going to crash, aren't we?
Altitude seems steady. Oh, and to think I thought that anti-gravity existed only in science fiction holograms.
You're right, Darv. Some sort of external guidance systems. We're moving towards that dome. And it's opening.
Oh. Telson, the dome!
We've noticed. I want everyone into a space mobility suit and wearing a plasma discharge weapon.
Right. Telson, it's an external guidance system which is probably used to steer all inbound vehicles into that dome.
And probably it's not. But whoever or whatever is controlling this shuttle won't find its crew so easy to deal with. Come on, everyone, into a suit.
Shana, I'm scared.
Well, of course you are, Astra. We all are. You stay close to me. I can shoot straighter than you can.
You see that, Number One? The dome closed behind them.
I saw what happened, Number Two. I'm surprised that Telson should have gone into the dome. We have always considered him one of the most cautious to have been born on the Challenger. It shows how little we really understand humans.
And supposing they are unable to return, we will be stranded in this orbit until the end of time.
Does time have an end?
What does it matter? What matters is what will happen to us if they don't return.
I've been thinking a great deal about time, Number Two. Do you know how much information we lost on the subject of time when our memories were damaged in the
great
meteor?
There's no point in worrying about lost information. The city's sinking below the horizon. Another 50 minutes before we have it in sight again. That's all that concerns me about time. A simple enough subject.
If it is such a simple subject, Number Two, why did the builders of the Challenger allocate it 1 billion megabyte memory? And what is meant by the time dilation effect that occurs in so many of the main drive control sub-programs?
Baggage retrieval point. Well, does anyone know what that could mean?
No.
Swing the camera to left, Shana.
Right.
That's it. There's another sign. Prohibited imports. Now I can't make out the small print underneath.
The camera's on maximum resolution.
Let's go out now, Commander.
Not until we've made absolutely certain it's safe.
Look, we've been sitting here an hour camera searching the entire dome. There's nothing out there.
External air pressure 1 atmosphere, 80-20 nitrogen oxygen mix, gravity decimal 1/6, temperature 20.
You see? A comfortable environment, even if the gravity is only 1/6. The whole point in landing on the moon was to see what we could find out about Earth, and we won't learn anything stuck inside this shuttle.
Darv's right, Telson. If there was anything here that meant us harm, it or they would have done something by now.
All right, then. But two of us will remain here on watch. To save argument, we'll draw lots to see who goes.
Telson?
Go ahead, Shana.
We've reached the end of the second gallery. It's definitely some sort of place for receiving large numbers of people. According to the notices, it's called FFC. And there are maps of the trackway system linking this city with other cities. This gravity really is weird. Astra's devised a sort of hopping walk that works quite well.
Shana, over here!
What does FFC mean?
I've no idea. Astra's found something.
See what you make of this notice. It lights up when you stand near it.
FFC Tourist Federation. Please touch the red panel if you require a conducted tour of the FFC cultural circuit. Please touch the green panel if you wish to visit the Shrine of the First Footprint. Did you hear that, Telson?
Yes, I did. Don't touch anything.
Oh, but I've already touched the green panel. I couldn't resist it. Oh, Shana, behind you!
What's happening?
There's a small, open-sided vehicle approaching us. Rather like a repair platform, but with four seats. There's no driver. And it's hovering about a foot above the ground. It's moving quite fast.
Don't take any chances, Shana. Use your PD weapon on it if it tries to get too close.
I don't think it means us any harm.
Good day to you, ladies. Welcome to First Footprint City, home of the United Planets Federation of the Solaric Empire. My name is Simon, and I'm your guide for your visit to the Shrine of the First Footprint on the Plane of Peace. Please climb aboard and make yourselves comfortable.
Shana, Astra, whatever you do, don't go aboard. It could be a trap.
There are times, Astra, when I despair of Telson. I think we'll turn our radios off. Come on.
Weird, isn't it, all this open space? It must be 20 times the size of the farming galleries.
Why are there no people? The whole plane is a mass of footprints, millions of them. So where have they all gone?
Wherever the Earth is, that's where they've gone. Oh, I don't know, Astra. I've given up trying to puzzle it all out. Darv's right. How could all this development have taken place on the moon in 115 years?
Simon, how long has it been since your last tourists?
Good day to you, ladies. My name is Simon. The shrine of the first footprint is 1 mile ahead.
Oh, no. Oh, just look at that.
Telson, can you hear me?
I've been trying to contact you. Are you all right? Where are you?
Can I speak to Darv, please, quickly?
Oh. Hello, Astra. What's the matter?
I don't think I've ever seen anything so beautiful.
Oh, Darv, you remember the old videos we used to watch of the first moon landing? We're actually there. There's the landing gear of the lunar lander, and it's bathed in a pool of brilliant blue light. And Darv, it's the most beautiful. The light and the way the plane all around is glowing. It's so beautiful.
Good day to you, ladies. My name is Simon. We are now at the Shrine of the First Footprint. I am not allowed to approach any closer, but you may walk to the edge of the Cathedral of Light.
Well, come on.
Okay.
Oh, listen, what's that?
It's music.
Oh, Astra, this is beautiful.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Come nearer, please.
What was that?
Who are you?
Come here. Welcome to the Shrine of the First Footprint, where man first set foot on the moon over 1 million years ago.
No, that's wrong. Not a million years.
Please, come nearer. You may touch the Cathedral of Light horse wall guarding the shrine. It won't hurt you.
Shana, isn't it the most beautiful thing you've ever seen?
Yes, but it's wrong. It wasn't a million years ago.
Follow this point of light with your eyes as it moves down the ladder. You are following man's first groping steps as he made his way down the ladder in his cumbersome mobility suit. Watch the spot of light carefully. There. It is now illuminating the first footprint made by man on another world. The footprint is exactly as it was when it was first made over 1 million years ago.
No! No, you're wrong! The first moon landing was only 300 years before the Challenger left Earth.
But the area behind the force wall is a perfect vacuum.
Oh!
And the force wall itself derives its energies from a fusion reactor buried deep beneath the plate. The reactor will power the force wall until our sun becomes a nova and consumes our solar system. The Earth was forced to leave our solar system 500,000 years ago to taking the men, women, and children of the Solaric Empire to safety, to a new sun. Meanwhile, I am the Sentinel, guarding this shrine of the first footprint and the library of the Solaric Empire, and welcoming aliens such as yourselves who pass this way.
Well, we're not aliens. We're of the Earth.
This shrine has stood for over a million years. It is a monument to our questing spirit.
Oh.
I ask you to look upon it with understanding, to leave it undisturbed until our sun, which gave us life, is ready to disappear.
We are not aliens, I tell you. Our grandparents were born on Earth. They were the crew of the starship Challenger, which was sent from Earth to explore the universe.
Don't worry, Sharni. It's all right. It's mistaken about the million years.
Well, thank you, Astra, but I'm all right.
It's just a voice, the Sentinel or whatever it is. Perhaps there's something wrong with it.
I will examine the records to see if there is a reference to the starship Challenger. Go to the library at the Solaric Empire in First Footprint City, and I will speak with you there.
I mean, it's so stupid. A million years.
Oh.
Well, it can't be. The Challenger's been away from Earth for 115 years, not a million years.
I don't know, Astra.
Well, surely you don't think that...
I don't know what to think. Tilson, can you hear me?
We heard everything the Sentinel said. Darv and I are leaving the shuttle. We'll find a vehicle like yours and we'll meet you at the Library of the Solaric Empire, whatever that is.
Good. Right. Simon.
Good day to you, ladies. My name is Simon. Climb aboard and make yourselves comfortable. Next stop, the Library of the Solaric Empire in First Footprint City.
Welcome to the Hall of Knowledge, my friends. You said that you were of Earth from the Starship Challenger. In the history of the Solaric Empire, there have been many such named ships.
There's no mention of this Solaric Empire in our records of Earth.
When did the Challenger leave the Earth?
Year 290 of the third millennium.
The date is meaningless to me.
Wait a minute. 290. The Challenger left Earth 321 years after the first moon landing.
1,000 years before the founding of the Solaric Empire. Therefore, the records I must search will be over a million years old. You must be patient for a few moments.
Look, this is crazy. The Challenger left Earth 115 years ago, not a million years ago. And what is this Solaric Empire?
Yes, there is a reference to three Challenger-class starships of the pre-Empire period you mentioned.
Three? But there was only our ship.
Challenger 1, Challenger 2, and Challenger 3. They were built when it was discovered that the sun would go nova at any time within the following million years. Their purpose was to search the galaxy for Earth-type worlds for the eventual evacuation of the Earth and the colonized planets of the solar system.
Then which of the three Challengers is our starship?
Challenger 2 returned on schedule 270 years after leaving its construction orbit around the moon. It travelled at a constant one gravity acceleration on its mission and reached 90% of the speed of light. Distance reached was 137 light-years. Shipboard time that passed was 20 years. Earth time that passed 270 years.
What do you mean, shipboard time?
The crew had aged only 20 years, and the 270 years they had been away from Earth. They found no suitable planets in the sector of the galaxy they explored.
Wait a minute. I don't understand you. Why the time difference?
Challenger 3 reached out 455 light years and returned on schedule after 910 years had passed on Earth, but only 25 years had passed on the ship. It found no suitable Earth-type planet. Challenger 1's mission was the longest, but it never returned.
I remember a poem I once found in the library. There were two lines I didn't understand, but I think I do now. Oh, to ride on a beam of light, so that time would stand still forever.
If it was possible to travel at the speed of light, time would cease to exist for you. You would be ageless, but the rest of the universe would grow old around you.
So how long should our Challenger have been gone from Earth?
420,000 years. It was considered the latest that the evacuation could be left.
And the time that would have passed on the ship?
50 years. A second-generation crew was expected to return.
We're third generation, and we've recorded the solar systems of many galaxies, not just two.
How far out did you reach?
Nearly 500,000 light-years.
Then something went wrong that extended the voyage. Challenger 1 was meant to reach out 208,000 light years. 50 years shipboard time should have passed, not 115 years.
And a million years have passed here?
Yes. There were many theories as to what happened to Challenger 1.
If it's possible to travel forward in time, is it also possible to travel back?
No.
But surely...
It is how the universe is made.
What happened to the Earth?
That is a question I cannot answer. There are no clues for the aliens to follow.
We're not aliens. The Earth is our spiritual home. We have a right to know.
The Earth left the solar system half a million years ago for a new star. That is all I can tell you.
Very well. We have a starship. We will search for the planet Earth.
No. You will not be permitted to leave the moon. You will be required to remain here.
How long for?
What's that noise?
The air pumps.
How long for?
Oh, my ears!
The atmospheric pressure is dropping rapidly. The air pumps are returning the air through our first footprint city to the reservoir. You will remain here until you die.
In First Footprint City, part two of Earth Search by James Follett, Sean Arnold played Commander Telson, Amanda Murray, Shana, Hayden Wood, Darv, and Catherine Hurlbut, Astra. Angel 1 was played by Sonia Fraser, and Angel 2 by Gordon Reed. Simon was David Bradshaw, and the Sentinel, Alexander John. Earth Search is directed by Glyn Dearman.
We'll be right back. Wait, wait, wait. Bye. Thank you. Okay, you can hang around for a bit. Thank you so much for visiting us. Don't forget to donate for the artists.
MC, copiez-moi, copiez-moi, voici le rythme. 6, mais j'arrive explosif comme du TNT. Si t'aimes pas, bah NTM en sirop dans l'AST. J'ai fait du rap ma vie, contre la vie de beaucoup. Je fous tout, tant que j'ai ma bande de fans en destin. On déconne sur des faux obliques. Si c'est pas Greenfist, est-ce que t'écouteras ce disque 16 piges? Y'aura même pas de réassort chez aucun disquaire. Archivé, quel triste sans la vie d'artiste et j'ai les crocs. Ouais gros, on en a grandi sur mon compte. Depuis du lait a coulé sous les ponts. Sans mafia ni cigare, sur ma seconde épopée. Ce rap comme un temps pompé, je crois même plus. Mais belle prix pour les featuring. J'ai été trahi, j'suis encore ici comme Monte Cristo. J'suis le vrai diable, les autres que des cristaux liquides. Triste figurine qui transpire sur 24 pistes. L'air slip purine. T'imagines même pas le pouvoir de mes textes. J'suis même pas au refrain, il est déjà dans ta tête. Oups.
Ouais, ouais, ouais. Mais quand j'arrive, je fais ah, Chino.
Balance la sauce que je garde la patate pour les copies cassées. Et si ça fait des erreurs de calcul sur ma sassée. Mais merde, c'est ma mic, t'es pas de taille, t'es dingue, j'ai me taille d'or. Tu taillais fort, maintenant t'es le faillot d'or. M'a rêvé en featuring, j't'avais dit oui, j'étais soumis, fallait pas te réveiller. Même en payant, y'a plus moyen, tellement tu mens. Tes potes veulent être mes bacs. Ta grosse, c'est ma groupie, dès que m'assoupiète, ça croupit. Pourquoi j'suis cru? Rap, mon rap plus la rue. Monte le putain de volume que la bac se met à danser. Tête comme hier à Paris, bien avant Marie, ma fidèle cache. J'partais seul au concert de rap à l'âge de 14. J'y ai saigné avant la mode du streetwear. La télé ne reconnaissait pas ce style de zip. Et si tu nies, t'hésites, ton pic. Comment ça qui ça devine?
Comment mais quand j'arrive, je fais ah, Chino. Ça fait un plus confirme. Achète le mien, le prochain, tu seras pas le cas. Mets-toi un gros doigt, et tu crois tu peux faire mieux ça. Mais quand j'arrive, je fais ah, Chino.
Ça fait un plus confirme.
J'fais du rap, hyper fort en plus de mes performances rap. Perfectionniste, ne me remercie pas, c'est mon taf. Béni je suis là, choisi je sois un MC. Ma foi ça me plaît, donc j'reste vrai, frais, scred. Prêt à mettre la patate car mon mic s'prénomme Tyson. Rap de bonhomme, monte sur scène seul avec ses boules. Fais bouger des millions de personnes sans augmenter son boule. J'suis pas les malades, les idoles tremblent des guibolles. Quand j'arrive en studio, paniqué, ça chuchote, c'est oh. Le test pas ou ça part en testos. Ils ont raison, ils ont pas mes refrains.
Mais quand j'arrive, je fais ah, Chino.
Ça fait un plus confirme.
Achète le mien, le prochain, tu seras pas gagné.
Mets-toi un gros doigt, et tu vois, tu peux faire mon moi, ça. Moi, c'est
ah,
mon Chino.
Danube, place des fêtes, Jacques Cartier.
Mec.
Super MC plus mortel qu'un cimetière.
2001, millésimé, je flotte avec la même team. Mars que c'est Ricky. Oxmo Puccino, 2001, 2002 et ainsi de suite.
Once upon a time, there was a fellow who had this horse he wanted to sell because it was getting too old, and a man came up and said that he'd like to buy the horse if it could be delivered to his apartment.